In chapter 8 of the Compendium, St. Thomas goes deeper with the idea of eternity. Just before, we said that God always exists, and this is the notion of eternity that most of us come in with. God is the kind of thing that lasts forever. He's going to take us deeper in this chapter, and he's starting with a basic notion, succession. What he means by succession is simply before and after. So, for example, if I'm walking along, there's one step before another step. My second step comes after my first step. If I'm growing up, my adulthood comes after my childhood. My childhood comes before my adulthood. Even if I am just sitting in a room, my existence 30 seconds ago and my existence now have a before and an after to them. I'm immersed, I'm kind of swimming in before and after. And my existence is sort of smeared out over a long period of time. So I'm never, I am not now the child I was before. I am not now the old man that hopefully I will be someday. There's succession, there's before and after built into the kind of thing that I am. St. Thomas wants to deny that of God. There is no succession, there is no before and after in God. And at the end of the chapter, he gets to the point he really wanted to make. That is, it's time to set aside the beginner's idea of eternity as just lasting forever and bring in the real notion of eternity, the deeper idea. Eternity is the simultaneously whole and perfect possession of endless life. Let's walk through that. Endless life is, of course, the starter notion, the life that never ends. But now we're going to talk about a simultaneously whole possession of that life. So, let's get into this by a series of contrasts. All right. What if you could be doing everything that you have ever done and ever will do in your life all in one moment? Right? So everything you did when you were an infant, everything you did when you were a toddler, everything you did in grade school, everything you did in high school, everything you're gonna do with your spouse and your kids, everything you're gonna do as an elderly person, everything you're going to do professionally, every mass you will ever attend, what if you could be doing every action that has taken place or will take place in your life in one moment? Wouldn't that be intense? Isn't that just sort of unimaginable? But here's the thing. We're not yet to what St. Thomas is trying to describe, because that's only the simultaneously whole possession of a fairly short life. What if you had the kind of life that lasts forever, that has always been and always will be? And what if you were doing every action you would ever do in that entire infinitely enduring life in one moment? That is what we're talking about. Now, notice two things. First off, we can't comprehend that. It quickly outstrips our ability to picture what's going on. We can't put ourselves into that situation and sort of feel what it would be like to have real eternity. But secondly, notice what has happened since chapter 4. We started with this weird idea of sort of the static God, the God who doesn't move, the sort of the frozen God. God is immobile. And we've taken that idea and just pushed at it, until now we see, wait a minute, no, it only appeared to be static or frozen. The reality is that God's immobility is an a super active reality, right? We are such that unless we're in motion, we're not alive. And the things that fall short of life are immobile. God is immobile not by falling short of our life, but by vastly exceeding it. But when we try to cast our minds up to understand this reality that is so far above us, the first thing we notice is not what's there, but what's missing, right? It's like if you travel to a foreign country, I don't know if you've had this experience. I remember the very first time I went overseas, and you know, when I walked out into a city street for the first time, it was weird. It was like being in a kind of nightmare, because what was striking me was all the ways in which it was not like an American street. The street was too narrow, the cars were too tall, right? The buildings were different, everything was a little off. And for a while, I had a hard time actually seeing what was there because I was being overwhelmed by what was not there. That happens to us when we try to think about God. We cast our minds up to God, and at first, when we begin to see that he's above motion, what strikes us first is, oh, he's immobile. We see a lack. We see a negative. We have to keep looking, keep contemplating, to push on through to see the positive reality that's behind the apparent negative. It's not that God falls short of our life. It's that he exceeds it. It's not that he's frozen. It's that he's so active that he's not in motion.